Really? Very good. Joseph, you ready out there, Sarah? All right, the time is now 6 p.m. I call it one of the special meeting of the Harper Heights Planning and Zoning Commission for June 6, 2019. We will start with an invocation and pledge of allegiance. Commissioner Charlton will give the invocation, and Commissioner Anderson will lead us in the pledge of allegiance. Please join us if you'd like.
Please bow your heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we again gather to look at planning as well as zoning problems in the city of Harper Heights. We gather here together to be objective, fair to our citizens who have developed new plans for our city, and we just need to decide if it fits into the overall planning for the future. We would ask that you bless all in attendance and those who haven't, cannot be here tonight for sickness or illness. We would ask that you bless all of you. Lord, we gather with wisdom and faith and listen and to be objective and hear both sides of every proposal. We would ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag and great nation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, one indivisible, with one liberty and justice for all.
Under the protection of the flag, I pledge allegiance to the United States, one state, under God, one indivisible.
Thank you all very much. Okay, the P&Z consists of volunteers appointed by the City Council. We coordinate with city staff, owners, developers, and agents and residents to provide the council with independent, objective, and coordinated evaluations and recommendations of planning and zoning issues in the context of state statutes, local ordinances, and the city's land use and comprehensive plans. Except for preliminary plats, all votes are recommendations and are forwarded to the council for decision. Secretary, please note commissioners present and absent. I'm showing that Commissioner Webster, Commissioner Parker, and Commissioner Watford are not here at this moment. They may come in, one of them may come in here. But we do have a quorum. Please silence your cell phones or any electronic devices out there that make noise. And next, going to be recognition of affidavits for conflict of interest. Mr. Mullis?
We've got none, sir.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we're going to go number three here. Under public hearing is case Z19-11, conduct a public hearing to discuss and consider recommending an ordinance to change zoning designation from RMH, Manufactured Home Park District, to PDC, Plan Development Commercial, a property described as A0288BC, B as in Victor L. Evans, Woodlawn Mobile Home Park, acres 28.867, generally located at 101 North Roy Reynolds Drive, Harper Heights, Bell County, Texas. Mr. Mullis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I need to start off by doing a fact checking for just 1 second. So I'm going to...
Did you say fact checking?
Fact checking.
I'm losing the weight.
If possible. Basically, to sum up, it looks like we've got an issue with the title of our... ordinance or our preamble. It will not affect the outcome of this meeting at all, but I just need to verify something that I did not bring my code of ordinances, so I apologize.
Take your time, sir.
But I will, basically what it comes down to is I believe that there is no zoning called PDC. I think it's actually PDB for business versus C for commercial. The intent is obviously a commercial enterprise, no matter how you slice it. And by the time it goes as an ordinance to the city council and city attorney, it will be corrected. But just for the record, I want to designate the proper zoning so that when we make a motion, it is for the proper item. Because the zoning is called PD, and it tells us that there are three flavors of that in the code that eventually gets here. But it tells us that there is, yes, it's PDB. Oh, apparently we have an I. Okay, you notice them every day. So anyway, that being said, We will be referring to this as a PDB from now on, and it will be corrected in time to get to the council. And we forget when we make a motion for an action on this item, refer to it as a PDB in the motion, please. Okay. All right, so that being said, I apologize for that. We've always called them PDCs. We rarely deal, they're usually mixed use when we deal with them. They're usually PDMs. In any case, the property we're talking about is the approximately 27 acres, 28 acres, that used to be known as Mrs. Moss and Mobile Home Park, Woodlawn Mobile Home Park, at the corner of Roy Reynolds and West Veterans Memorial Boulevard. The applicants are here today to request a recommendation of approval to rezone this property from a mobile home park to a planned development in order to put an RV park in its place. The way our code of ordinances works right now is that if you have a mobile home park and you want to make a portion or all of it an RV park, you have to get a conditional use permit so that we can put in some issue, you know, some protections or whatever for the RV park. For whatever reason, the code was written so that it comes back to the P&Z and Council so they can look at it. The issue we've got before you tonight is that this mobile home park has lost its grandfathering status. So things like the spacing of the units, the width of the roads, the lack of sidewalks along the roads, the lack of interior lighting, the things that are required in our current code of ordinances for a manufactured home park are required for this park. So the applicant is here asking for a planned development to alter some of those requirements so they can use a lot of the existing infrastructure within the park. So in other words, the streets, you know, are normally required to be 36 feet in width, but they're asking for 24 feet. And I'll get into the conditions. But the point is that they're asking for a planned development instead of a CUP because they need to change some of the requirements, and the planned development zoning would be best suited for that. So that being said, this is a picture of the property. As you can see, this is taken from Roy Reynolds. There are units in there now. The existing mobile homes were in there from the park that's been there for decades. This is a view from one of the gates. You can see the units back in the trees. There's another photo showing the main street going through the park. And finally, you know, some more. And so what's been going on is the people that are developing, and they're the joint applicants of this, that are developing the Mary Jo side, have been moving some of those units onto this park temporarily so they can clear that side and begin work. But they've left all the streets clear, as we asked them to, in case there's an emergency. And obviously, these units will now be removed as this RV park develops if they're granted their planned development zoning district. But those are the structures as they exist today. The existing land use does show a mobile home park, although again, it's been vacant for several years now. And again, it had been out of business for long enough that it lost its grandfathering. It is surrounded by commercial uses to the south, vacant property to the east. The city of Killeen has some vacant and quasi-developed property to the west. And to the north is more vacant property. And then just cut off on the tip of the map in blue right up there is that electric substation. So there's an electrical station to the north and then more vacant property. The zoning for this is as a manufactured home park district. It is surrounded by R2 and R3 zoning. It's also got to the city of Killeen too, with various zonings to the west and commercial zonings to the south. So staff feels that going from a manufactured home park to an RV park is not a significant change in the zoning, would not significantly or negatively impact existing zoning in the area. Future land use map calls for a mobile home park. That's according to the 2007 Conference of Plan, and once again, an RV park is essentially a flavor of a mobile home park. It's actually a subset in the code of ordinances. So the applicant's request to do an RV park is within the bounds of the Conference of Plan and the future land use map therein. It is very important to note that segments of this property are within the FEMA floodplain, the 500 and 100, as they've been traditionally called, floodplains, and the floodway, which as we discussed last week, is that part of the flood channel where you really should develop, because any development in there could actually alter the floodplain. And so the applicant, as you'll see later, has designed their site to avoid the use of the floodway, and because they are dealing with RVs, they're mobile, they can develop in the floodplain, you know, with some certain restrictions, but they, you know, as a mobile development, you know, if there's an emergency, those units can be moved, the RVs can be moved, whereas a mobile home is stuck there in the floodplain. Staff sent out notifications to the 14 properties surrounding the RV park. We did not send out notifications to the properties in Killeen, as it's not required by our code. We received one recommending approval, and we received none recommending denial. So that being said, I want to talk a little bit about the background of the project, and the applicant and the representatives are here to give a lot more detail. But basically, this is kind of a shot of what they want to do. They want to maintain a lot of the green space in there as amenities for the park. So for instance, you know, whereas in the original park, there were units all in there. They're showing that as green space. And this is, of course, that floodplain and the floodway. So they are treating the creek and the existing green space in there as amenities. So they're doing something that's typically different than a lot of developers in this area, where they'll just kind of hide stuff in the back and, you know, deal with drainage that way. The applicant is doing something different in acknowledging that there's green space and acknowledging that there's some amenity, some beneficial factors to that. They have indicated a future trail system that would possibly connect even with the subdivision that you saw last week, as far as doing a kind of a network of trails within that part of the town. So again, that's something that we haven't seen typically, is people plan for interconnectivity between different developments of an amenity trail system. This is a schematic showing the RV park, and I know it's really hard to read at this scale, but the big piece of information to take from that is the number of units being about 150. You can see that little table on the right-hand side. And then as you zoom in a little bit more into the park, you can kind of see the park layout. And again, you can see how they're avoiding the floodplain and the floodway, but using the existing lots that were originally mobile home lots as the RV lots. So they're taking advantage of the existing street network in there. So that being said, they did go through and create some conditions. So in your packet, you had what was essentially a redlined copy of the code, where they went through the code ordinances and kind of made the changes that they wanted to see made to the code. So we made a supply table for tonight's presentation, and I'll go over those very quickly. One is that the recreational vehicle should be harbored so that there is at least a 33-foot distance between the recreational vehicles, measured from utility pedestal to utility pedestal. We do that to decrease density and to increase safety, especially if there's a fire, there's some separation between the units. No recreational vehicle or accessory building should be located closer than 10 feet from any building, roadway, lot line, or any other property line. Again, these are safety issues as far as keeping spacing around buildings and structures and vehicles. One parking space will be constructed of asphalt or concrete for off-street parking for each recreational vehicle. In other words, they have to have a parking space, and it has to be paved, a permanent all-weather surface. All park lots shall abut an internal roadway of not less than 24 feet in width, which shall have unobstructed access to public streets. In other words, they have to have an internal street network 24 feet wide, and of course that network has to access, you know, a public street, in this case, Roy Reynolds. All streets will have to be well, and it should be marked in the daytime and lit at night. All streets need a minimum 1-inch asphalt. Basically, we're setting the standards for the street, so they're not just like coating asphalt on top of a layer of gravel. If they have any dead ends, if they have to have a turn radius of 80 feet, which is part of our fire code, so that a fire truck can turn around. I don't believe the schematic shows any dead ends. It's just in case they add a road. The next thing has to do with occupancy. Basically, nobody can live. Can occupy the park for more than 12 months. We're trying to discourage people from permanently living in the park. I think typically what will happen is the maximum they can do is 6 months, but if they want the extension to 12 months, they have to go to the city manager for that. Next, the lots have to be 1,300 square feet, which is, we saw in the schematic, that fits with what the original lots were in the mobile home park. They have to have full-time on-site management. They have to comply with our sidewalk network, but we're not requiring the internal sidewalks because they've got the trail system that's going in there. We're more concerned about the external sidewalk. So they will put one from the main entrance going down to the corner of Roy Reynolds as far as the property goes, with the hopes that in the future, as we hopefully get to redo Veterans Memorial Boulevard and put sidewalks, and it'll connect to that. So to be honest, for now, it's going to be a sidewalk to nowhere, but you know, we're planning in the future in that regard. No street parking is going to be allowed. That's part of the deal as far as the street widths are concerned. So essentially, and that's what we mentioned marking previously, essentially the internal roads to the RV park are fire lanes. So you can't park on those. 24 feet is the width of a fire lane, and so that's what they're following, and that's why we're not going to allow on-street parking. We are going to require additional parking at the entrance of the park so that when people are checking in or visiting or whatever, that way they're not tempted to park on those side streets. And finally,
there's a fire lane actually marked all the way through there?
Yes, it's going to have to be marked.
Okay. Good.
And finally, as we put in all of our planned developments and conditional use permits, they have to follow all other requirements of the city of Harker Heights. So any other requirements, fire code, building code, plumbing, electrical, will all have to be up to the existing code ordinances. So that concludes my presentation. Yes, it does. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. And again, the applicant is here to go into more detail about their vision for this project, but I'd certainly be able to answer any questions in particular about zoning or regulations. Thank you.
The sewer and the water that's in there already, is that going to just be used again, or is it going to be redone since it's been there forever?
It's our understanding that the sewer and water capacity is adequate for that site. That will be something that they'll have to go back and look at when they start trying to apply for building permits at that point. But you know, the lifespan of a sewer and water system varies on its use. So to be honest, we don't know what the condition is there, and that's something that they're going to have to deal with. It's a private network inside the park, so it would be their responsibility.
It's a private network.
I believe it's a private sewer network, and there are sewer lines that don't, you know, they extend to the park, but then it's a private network inside the park. And I believe that's the case with the water system in there as well.
Is there going to be a spot for them to, what's it called, black water?
Dump.
Yeah, like a leach field or anything on the property? So there's not going to be anywhere for these people to refill or dump or anything?
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. You'll have to wait.
Okay.
Good question, though. Okay. Like, I think all my questions are going to be to them there.
Yeah.
So the 6 months you said earlier about to limit it to where 6 months would be the maximum a unit could be in the park?
It's 6 months, but they can get an extension to 12 months by permission of the city manager.
Okay. That's per lot that this guy's...
Correct. It would be up to the, well, I don't know if the park wants to handle it or the actual tenant, but somebody will have to submit an application to the city manager saying this tenant wants to stay past 6 months up to a maximum of 12 months. Is that okay?
Couldn't they just leave for a day and then come right back and do another 6 months?
I would assume technically they probably could.
All right.
One more,
man.
Is there going to be an entrance and exit on not only the west, but also the south side of that?
They are landlocked, so the only entrances, there are, I think, what is it, four entrances on Roy Reynolds at this time? So they have four entrances right now.
But they're all on Roy Reynolds?
They're all on Roy Reynolds.
And Bingo Land is just north of that.
I'm sorry?
Bingo Land is just north of that, right?
Quite a ways. You've got to cross railroad tracks, three there.
I was thinking of traffic. Getting in and out. Is the road wide enough?
Oh yeah, Roy Reynolds there is, I think, five lanes. So it's a pretty wide road at that point. Or if it's not five lanes, it's three. I take that back. It should be three. But yeah, I think that's fine.
What about trash for the 150? Is there dumpsters on
there?
They're
going to be required to have dumpsters. That's part of our regular code. They're going to have a dumpster enclosure.
Multiple or just one? Or
it's really up to them. You know, if they just have one, they're going to have somebody out there probably a couple of times a week, depending on their volume. But again, that's their business as far as that's concerned.
We're just going to be concerned about making sure that they have dumpster service, and then the market will determine if they need, you know, 3 or 4 or 1 or 2, much like the existing mobile home park.
Mr. Carey, you have a question here?
Yes. Are any of the mobile homes that are currently still in the park, are they all vacant?
Yes, that park has been vacant for over a year and a half. And I want to say that probably all but 4 units have been vacant for like the last 5 to 6 years. So it's been vacant for quite a long time.
Commissioners, any other questions? Mr. Mullins?
I have one other question.
Yes, sir.
Who's going to be responsible for clearing out those old, whatever?
Yeah.
Dale?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
We've already got that set up.
We got to wait till you're over here, sir.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right, commissioners, I'm going to go ahead and this point here, I need to ask you, who is here representing this request? Can you please come up here, sir, state your name and your address.
Hi, my name is Joel Canfield. I live at 705 Vanguard Street, Lakeway, Texas. And I'm from Open Air Resorts, representing the buyer or the buyers.
Yes, sir. Please tell us about your project.
Well, thank you. So Open Air Resorts, to start off with, thank you for the special session. Very much appreciate everybody getting together. So I'll try to keep my answers as brief as possible to get everybody out. There's a lot of different impressions that people have with mobile home parks. So we're really a hospitality resort, and there's a full spectrum of, you know, things that are closer to mobile homes to full-on resorts on the coast of Florida with water parks in them. So we're kind of halfway in between. And so what we've done is we've put together a model that services the existing clientele that's in the RV space, but also there's a lot of new people coming into the space. And they're difficult to book. They don't act like hotels act. And that's our model, is essentially we come to it with a hospitality focus, strong marketing. We have a national operator that operates our parks for us out of Maryland called Advanced Outdoor Solutions. Search engine optimization, all online booking optimization, and we bring a resort-style experience to the folks that are there. And that's a combination of a lot of different kinds of customers, but that's the platform that we deliver those things on.
Where's the nearest property to us right here that y'all have?
Yeah, in Spicewood, Texas, just outside of Austin. We're opening up that park in 1 week, as a matter of fact. So it's actually almost open.
You have any that are currently open in Texas?
Not for Open Air Resorts, no. We've done other parks for other people. This is our first for this brand.
Okay. All right. The mobile homes that are in there now, my concern is you always have a chance of kids, homeless, whatever else, getting into properties.
Yeah.
I've always been the one that I like windows boarded up. I like doors boarded up where people can't get in there. I know y'all moved mobile homes from the other property into here, a few of them or whatever. My question is, you know, what are we going to do about getting that to where in the event somebody's in there, because you have one light up, the whole place is going to light up, and then the north side of Harbor Heights is going to light up.
That's a great point. So there's two parties involved. There's the seller side or the buyer side. So Henry's here today to talk about that, but we do have a plan in place already. We have bids on moving those things out. So as soon as we take possession, all of those will be vacated first before we do anything else.
What kind of time frame would you be looking at getting those out?
So we're trying to close in September.
Okay, but I mean, the time frame as far as getting the units out?
Oh, how long will it take to remove the units? Less than 30 days.
Okay, all right. Go ahead, sir. You can state your name and address.
Henry Moore, 268, Dean Watts Lane, Belton, Texas.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
What we've done over the last couple weeks since I saw you last, we have moved everything up off from where we're doing the duplexes.
Can you get a little bit closer? She has to record to make sure they can be recorded. But there you go.
All right. So what we've done is we've purchased some land way out the county. We're going to have them demolished out there. That way we can expedite getting them out of the city of Parker Heights. We have put up many no trespassing signs. We tried to secure the property. I've had my guys go in and screw the door shut. The problem is Mrs. Moss's mobile homes were in such bad shape. Most of them have busted windows, mold's gotten in there, you know what I'm saying? So we have tried to secure around the property, put up no trespassing, no signs as best as we can. But to expedite, it's just easier for us to pull them out in the county, have our guys tear them down out there, otherwise it would take, we're looking at 150 units we're tearing out. And they've all got to go. They're not salvageable, they're junk. So it's quicker for us just to pull them out, demolish them out there.
So in 30 days, you think you can have them out?
I've got two guys, Wayne Burke and them, they said that they can move about 10 to 15 feet, but he's going to be running two trucks. We want them out as quick as possible. So, yeah, as quick as we can get them, we're going to get them out.
If they're moving pretty quickly, you know, I can probably deal with the doors, windows, whatever else, but if they're lingering there, I myself, it's going to be a deal of stuff we're happy boarded up. Yes, if I don't want a kid in there or...
And we don't, it's like I said, I mean, unfortunately, there's been when we first bought it, there were some homeless people, and I call Hart Guys Police and get them out. I think once we moved all the homes off the top, people are starting to realize it's going to change. Something that's been there for 50, 60 years, it's changing now. And I just hope that the city will work with us and understand it's cost us hundreds of thousands to clean up before we start building. But we can't change the face of the city and put in good quality without us cleaning it up. So we know that it has to be cleaned up, and we want to clean it up as quickly as possible so that we can put in the products that are going to benefit the community and benefit, you know, us financially. We've just got to get to that point. But like I said, we're going to move them as fast as we can, sir.
Okay. The sewer lines in there, what size sewer lines are in there currently?
From what we've been told, the sewer lines are good. We are going to have to bring water.
But what size are they? What size?
I'm not sure. Which
one? 4 inch, 6 inch?
I think it's 6, wasn't it?
I'm sorry, we're tall.
The ones that park is, I would think you probably have like orange bomb, this old piping in there, and then very, very thin wall, 4 inch pipe.
We've explored what's coming into the site, but it's our expectation that everything on the water side and the wastewater side are completely unusable. They're going to be pulled out. The electrical infrastructure is okay, but everything else is kind of just... Well, one of the things we love about the site that's really unable to be reproduced by competitors is the great infrastructure with the great trees. And one of the reasons you have amazing trees is you probably have a very significantly leaking sewer system for many, many years. And so it's the expectation that those are all probably unusable.
Okay, so you plan those will probably be replaced, sewer lines?
We have to run all new lines for all this.
Okay. And the water lines as well?
So I'm assuming if that's the case, yeah, we have dug into it, but that's playing for worst case scenario. Yeah.
Have you all thought about having a lot of these mobile homes, or a lot of these RV parks have a gate there where they're locked in at night? Mm-hmm. Of course, they have a keypad to get in and out or whatever. Do you foresee doing that there, or is it going to be strictly in and out?
A few folks from city staff have suggested that. We'd like to not do that if we can, only because it's not a very welcoming resort style experience. And we know that we're pioneering here a little bit, right? We're on the wave of a redevelopment, and that's one of the things that attracts us to this, is that we have our presence there as that takes off. But that first impression, that window when you come into the park, is a significant impression. And gates kind of tell you that there's a reason to have the gates, and that there's safety in some of those things. So we want to give an impression that it's a welcoming environment. The way we secure that is with the on-site management 24/7. And if we have to hire security folks to go through that, that'd be preferable for us than it would be to put a gate in if we can avoid it.
My current wife doesn't prefer hotels versus RVs, but the wife before that, we RV'd quite a bit. I myself enjoyed having a gated, where I knew nobody else was coming in there. A place south of Austin, we stay at down by south side of Austin. It's got trees everywhere, like a 1960s swimming pool out there right on I-35.
Really very cool.
Yeah. And then we can simply cruise around Austin on a bike, mm-hmm. your motorcycle right from there all the time. But they had a gate there, you had to get in and out.
Now we're going to fence the back side of the property, but we're not planning right now to put gates across the front.
Yeah, I thought it would be something you would work out well there probably. But yeah. Commissioners, y'all have any questions?
Yes, sir. Just one. In effect, is this going to be, as an older type person, is this going to be, in effect, a super KOA?
Well,
in a generality.
That's a great question. There's the absence of any brands in the RV space. You've got KOAs and you've got Jellystones, which are kind of the only two that are there. And even those look very, very different. What our hope is that we're kind of coming out of this direction of kind of being the Courtyard Marriott of all RV parks, where you get a good value for your money, good level of amenities, and you know exactly what you get, and it's consistent experience for different parks. So our hope is that we're not compared to KOAs, but if you're looking at KOAs being of a higher tier relative to some of the other competition, I think that may be a fair analogy.
And will there be a company store, for want of a better term there, or something?
Yes, sir. Yep, we usually have a store. So like in our park in Spicewood outside of Austin, we have a general store. It's got perishables, RV parts supplies, we have a propane station, sell firewood, we rent golf carts, food, ice cream for the kids, and then we have a lounge area for the people to kind of hang out and socialize, and a community room kind of thing.
Okay.
Hey, I don't know if the city staff's web, but Joseph, would you be able to pull up our website just to show the park that we've got in Austin?
I was going to let Mr. Robinson know too. You were asking about the water and everything. As we speak now, Encore is actually upgrading everything out there, not just where we're doing the duplexes, but down the bottom, they're putting the new poles, new transformers, so they're upgrading the electric in the whole area.
Okay.
Good. I'm kind of back on the leach field. Like, if all these, if there's going to be 150 trailers or RVs out there, where are they going to refill the water and dump their water and do all this?
Well, they're going to have water on the water.
So a traditional model is to have like a dump station.
Mm-hmm.
What our parks do is each lot has its own sewer water connection. So while you're connected there, you just go through the normal sewer system, mm-hmm. and it goes into the municipal system from there. So, but there's no separate dump system. And we don't take, that also keeps the folks that are stopping by a dump and pay a dump fee and kind of out of the park. It's a little, and our price point kind of dictates that clientele a little bit too, so it's in line with that strategy.
So there's not like a state regulation to have a leach field on these sites?
A lot of the newer RV parks, if you look, when you pull into your spot, you actually have the hose from your RV goes right into the sewer. Okay. We're going to have sewer lines there, but they don't keep an extra dump station because when they park, they can, they're dumping into the sewer.
So then the operator would pay all sewer and water bills for the whole park?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, like a hotel kind of acts like that.
I have one other question.
Yes, sir.
You're restricting this to RVs, which means you drive it in and drive it out. You don't pull trailers in there and park them?
Oh, both, sir.
Yes. Both?
More rides.
So it's not just RV. But it's also travel trailers, too.
One you would drive or you could pull on
a trailer.
Yeah.
Okay. Only differentiation would be no soft-sided trailers, and that was in the ordinance that Mr. Wolf was going to get it for us. So just the normal bigger size, you know, higher-end trailers.
What's y'all's guidelines as a company? Like, what do y'all want in?
Well, so the operating company that we have has a fairly rigid set of kind of, I guess, quality standards, for lack of a better word. But some of those things a lot of people tend to ask me about is, like, the age of the trailers. Usually about 10 years or newer, unless it's kind of a vintage fixed up kind of thing. That's a typical rule. We don't let people put in ancillary structures. So like if you're there for a season, you're coming down for a winter tech-in or something, and you're there for 4 months, you might want to pop up a little Home Depot storage trailer. We don't allow those. We set up partnerships with local storage companies if you need some of that, or sometimes we've even done on-site storage. But we have a rental agreement that kind of has the rules and regulations and as far as trash collection and how you keep your site, uniformity. Because that's a big, big deal with keeping everything really consistent, like a streetscape.
Is the pool going to be, are you going to have a pool there?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we are.
I know that the old pool has been usable there and all.
I'm a big kind of vintagey fan. I would love to do something cool with that pool, but it's unfortunately not safe anymore. They changed all the safety rules and handicap access. So we're going to be building then, I hear.
The lining in the park there, you're a heavily wooded area there, and you're near bars, clubs, whatever else. It is going to be well. I know we have here about all internal roadways should be well marked at daytime and light at night. You're going to be putting in new lighting, I take it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right. Most specifically, they all have all the intersections. You put the bigger lights, and you can put some lower level street lights, so it's not a light pollution kind of issue, but you've got all the safety areas highlighted very well.
Well, I like that 10-year rule. I think that's always makes it a nicer park when you have 10 years or newer, because there's some stuff out there you're like Breaking Bad. You're surprised it's able to go down the road.
Well, we kind of differentiate ourselves and keep a lot of that. Well, let me say it this way. The price point, being a slightly higher in the market, keeps a lot of that out, because a lot of people that maybe have a little older trailer make decisions on price versus amenities and some of these other things. So it kind of does manage itself to some extent.
And you are allowed pets, I'm sure?
We are. Yeah, we usually have a dog park in most of our locations.
Is there designated grilling areas or like fire areas, or can anybody just bring the grill in?
So both. So we have fire pits kind of for each area, which frankly nobody uses, but it looks nice on postcards kind of thing. But then we have community grills that are kind of near where the amenities hub is, where kind of people can congregate and all work together. Bigger size grills. Yep.
Well, I really hope to have something there besides mobile homes, RVs, travel trailers. You know, but I think that a lot of people have travel trailers, have RVs, they can drive and pull behind. And I know from the years of when I operated, had one, there's many, many places that we didn't have a reservation, You didn't get in. This place was full. And I mean, throughout the year, not specific times. And it was a lot of fun there. And I know people now that have probably $200,000 RVs and higher. So I think it will do well there. It's not quite what I wanted to have there, but this is, I think, better than what we had there before.
We know going into these situations that we're running against the headwind of how people's impressions of previous RV parks they've seen are, and we are looking forward to kind of changing your perspective on it. You know, there's a whole new group of people that are coming into this space. The last 5 to 7 years, the big trailer companies have had like double-digit year-over-year sales increases. And the millennial group is kind of coming in and buying their first parks now. And so they're coming into the space and they want nice amenities, really fast Wi-Fi, a lot of things that the old parks just don't have the infrastructure to provide. So I think you're going to see an interesting new clientele kind of coming through, and people maybe stopping in Harker Heights that didn't know it was here before.
Yeah. What do you think the pull is to this particular area?
The pull? Well, you've got the normal things. You've got the couple recreational lakes nearby. You've got some spillover from the base, obviously, with the parents coming through for the kids and some of those things. You'll have seasonal workers kind of passing through. You have a nice just central Texas location for a lot of winter Texans that come up from the north Midwest, come around. And then what we're finding interesting-wise, you know, we do a lot of Google Analytics and a lot of the marketing stuff that we do. There's a large group of people that are it's like a new transient group of folks that are out there. So it's a combination of, you've got millennials that don't want stuff anymore, they want experiences. So a lot of people that can travel will choose to kind of strip their lifestyle down and have a travel work job, and they can kind of move around the country and have experiences. There's large groups of homeschool kids that come in like caravans together and go to different places around the country. And then there's a whole new group of more affluent kind of retirees that have bought in terms of the higher-end RVs that you're talking about, that have kind of a different expectation in the marketplace that are kind of coming through. And that catchment area comes down to how you access those people and make them conscious and aware that you exist, and then how you, you know, represent that offering to bring them in and show them the value that they're going to get.
So potentially like a bunch of tiny, you expect a bunch of tiny homes to show up and fill up the...
You never know. It's funny. So RV spaces aren't inherently perfect for tiny homes. You've got to do some electrical improvements usually to increase them. But our park outside of Austin, as soon as we started building it, those tiny home folks kind of came out of the woodwork. And so we have about 26 of our sites that we're going to experiment with it. And I frankly, I don't get it. I mean, it's not for me. I don't think I can live in a tiny home. But just the enthusiasm for those things from a lot of different generations just continues. There's a romanticism about that kind of lifestyle. So we just got our first tiny home delivered yesterday to our park in Austin. And we're going to have a couple of them there, I think, pretty shortly.
Commissioners, do you have any questions? Yes, ma'am?
Well, my colleague just made the comment that it seems like with that kind of park there, that would be attracting some businesses, maybe places to eat. Seems like that would be attractive for some fast food places.
I hadn't thought about that. That's a good idea.
Well, I mean, the development of more and more growth there.
There's a mobile home park in Flint called Wells Mobile Home Park. Wells Mobile Home Park has went from mobile homes to now, over the years, lots and lots of travel trailers. Most of those people are, you've got officers living there that are stationed at Fort Hood that don't want to buy a house, don't want to be in an apartment, don't want to be, you know, whatever. The wife comes in every other month or something. So there's a lot of those in there, and a lot of civilian people there as well. And this is a park that is a terrible place. It drops off probably to 90, this is 190 like this, probably 35 or 45 feet down, and it's just a terrible. So I know there's a demand here for sure. We've got that RV park out there in 2410 that popped in like that. So your location there, I think, would be a great location, and I think it would be beneficial to Mark Wright's for many, especially Veterans Memorial Boulevard. If everything's done right there, and you know, you seem very knowledgeable. This guy's a big Trump fan here, so I had him the other day.
But remind them too that we are putting all the commercial there in your contract. We're meeting with Kearns. I've already talked to Corey Bush, Bush's Chicken, when you said restaurants. The reason we need what we're doing is a partnership. We're upgrading the houses, bringing in the
hiring duplexes. We've just taken over Blue Trust's property, bulldozing that, having an upscale RV resort, and then we see cleaning up that commercial too. And it's like I said, we're being proactive on this. I talked to people at Sonic. It's just a matter of us taking this down and basically bulldozing. A lot of those buildings were built, I think, in the 50s and 60s. So
and that window is very important to us, how that experience you come into that space.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because if you think we've got 150 sites at any given time, you could have 250 to 300 people in physically a small space. And so that's a lot of sales tax revenue, frankly.
Well, for right now, you have to basically take Roy Reynolds from 2410, you can follow that down, close our eyes and leave the veterans, and then turn in the park like that.
Maybe we'll try to steer them that direction.
Maybe tell them that part's Nolensville or something.
There you go.
Commissioners, any other questions? All right, gentlemen, please have a seat.
Thank you for the audience.
Okay, I'm now going to open up this public hearing. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in reference? Yes, sir. To this agenda item, please go right up to the podium, state your name and your address. I think you're the one that figured out the plan development C thing.
Good evening, folks. My name is Mike Stegmeier. I live at 715 Black Hills Trail, Harker Heights, Texas, 76540. I just have a few questions here. One of them was the RV square footage for the RV. If you could put a 40-footer, which my cousin bought, unfortunately, now they can't park them in any state or federal parks, you know, because it's too big. But if this vehicle is towed behind it, is there going to be room in that 1,300 square feet for a towed vehicle? Or if they have a vehicle with a fifth wheel that's going to be almost 60 feet long, like travel trailers are 30 feet now. I just want to make sure that they have room to park off that street like they're suggesting for unfettered access. And if the fact that tout, there would be high-end resorts, I missed the part about what you guys folks said about the wastewater at each site for the larger vehicles. That's great. I missed that. So I apologize for that. There's already two parks here. There'll be two parks, correct? There are RV parks in Harker Heights?
We have the new one out there, and
that's in our ETJ.
Yeah, it's an ETJ there, but we still have some mobile home parks that were allowed to have RVs in there. There was a few. I don't know if Big Oaks has any at this point, but some of the mobile home parks, the one on the Indian Trail, the old Country Squire place.
I don't think that one does anymore.
No? Okay. So, but go ahead with your question.
What I'd like to also recommend is if we're going to have this, where the 12 months the city requires it, for all these mobile home parks, if you're going to stay there for longer than 6 months, good requirement. As of this point, I couldn't find it in any of the, your regulations or ordinances. Maybe we should put something in our ordinance here that says the city manager is responsible for absorbing that, and there should be an application online for these RV folks that, so that if they want somebody to stay longer than 6 months, they can go to that and then, or have their applications already and then give it to the city manager or somebody who will accept them. Just out
of curiosity, our permits,
just verification for future, if we have more mobile home parks, you know. So I can't find it, and I spent a lot of time in the ordinances looking for that. I couldn't find it. You will have full-time on-site management, is that correct?
Yes,
all right. That was another one of my questions. And, I just need somebody to address the...
Well, you're dealing about the parking, if they're, most people pulling, When I would check out any place there, I would look online and see what size they had there as far as a pull-through, okay? I like to simply pull through, be done with it, but the majority of them, or at least I'd say 70% of the ones I went to, didn't all have a bunch of pull-throughs. You had to really back in there, which I could back in anything, anywhere. But the deal there was, you know how it's going to fit in there before you ever got there. I'm going to go to lot number... 18, if you made reservations. If you pull in the park there, the way I would normally do it, I would ride around there or walk around and find which lot I like the best. You know, maybe there's some freaky looking RV here I don't want to park next to, or I didn't like the way the tree looked, or whatever, or they had a pull, or whatever. So I think that it's going to be the demand of whoever pulls in there, we're going to make sure that people have the right size lot, or they're going to learn very, very quickly that it's up. Your 40-foot travel trailer being pulled by a huge truck isn't going to fit.
Because my cousins have the 40-footer. They pay $575,000 for that thing.
What do they pull it with?
No, that's their...
Oh, it's driving.
Big RV. Yeah, the big RV. Okay. They tow Lexus LS behind it. And
okay.
After their pullouts, they're going to eat up that 300 square feet of space for the RV. And will their pads be asphalted in a drive-through?
It's too
great. All right, that answers some of my questions. I appreciate that so much. Thank you, folks, very much for your time.
Thank you
appreciate
for finding that earlier about the PD.
Okay, well, yeah. I just tried
very
to
diligent.
I spent 5 days trying to find that in your ordinance.
Okay. Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Is there anyone else here that would like to speak in reference to this agenda item? Okay. Close the public hearing at this time. If you'd like, you can do rebuttal at this time. Is there anything he said there that you'd like to review?
No, I'm not.
Yep. Very good. Okay. All right, commissioners, back to us.
What's up?
Let's get back to the commissioners here. Do y'all have any questions of Joseph or anything, or any concerns? At this point, we need a motion, and go from there.
I'll make a motion to recommend approval of an ordinance to change zoning designation from R-MH Manufactured Home Park District to PDB, Plan Development Business, on property described as A0288BC, VL Evans, Woodlawn Mobile Home Park, acres 28.867, generally located at 101 North Roy Reynolds Drive, Parker Heights, Bell County, Texas, with the attached conditions based on staff's facts and findings.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. So Commissioner Carey motions and Commissioner McCann seconds. Do we have any discussion, Commissioner? Okay. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand. All right. That is unanimous there. 6-0. That passes. Next item is citizens to be heard. Are there any citizens who wish to speak at this time? Next item are reports from P&Z commissioners, alternates. Are there any commissioners or alternate members who wish to speak? I'd like to say I want to thank everybody for coming here tonight. We don't have everybody here, but we've had a quorum plus, and I appreciate that very much because everybody's busy. I know that she's on vacation right there. So, thank you all very much. Staff comments?
Just to thank you again for being here tonight.
Thank you.
And just to remind the applicants, you will go before the City Council Tuesday at 5 o'clock, same room.
All right, we're going to close this out then at 6:48 p.m.